Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Grace Hour Show, our Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn about our faith in a practical way. My name is Matt Garrett. Today I'm joined once again by Jesse Fires. Hey, Jesse.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm here.
We're both wearing green.
That's right. It's Christmas time almost.
I know. I love it.
I should have worn red. I could have worn red. We could have been like, you know, jingle bells or something.
Maybe next time.
All right. Maybe next time. Hey, we're having a whole week talking about God's design for humanity and, not so much Christmas related. We sent Seb to the, man, he's gone. He's gone. Great. I'm so glad. So the past two episodes, you've got to focus on the woman, God's design for the woman, and then yesterday, God's design for the man. So today we're going to talk about them both at the same time, and really we're looking at the beauty of the difference between man and woman, male and female created he them, Genesis 1:26. So to get us started, to really think about the beauty of the difference between man and woman, Jesse Fires, lead us through this episode.
Okay. maybe first we could talk about like what we're gonna, the points we will be hitting, in this, this podcast. So the first one, we're going to talk about how it's complementary, not competition. So that'll be our first point.
Okay.
Second point will be marriage as a picture of Christ in the church. Mm-hmm. And so we'll get into that. And then the third one is kind of like a cultural, how the cultural blurs like God's design for man and woman.
Yeah.
And so, so maybe we can think about like, we think of man and woman, it's not like we're going to talk about marriage in specific, but is it safe to say that we're going to hit all targets, you know, like even single?
No, this is just right? about being one of God's creations. That's
cool.
It.
Yeah. I just want to get that out there. Totally. So we don't have a it's a man and woman. Like,
oh no, tune
maybe
in.
About marriage.
Stay tuned.
We
got you.
Yes.
I think. I don't know. Jesse got you. I'm just here.
So the first one is complementary, not competition.
Okay.
I think this is a big one. We see this in Genesis. And I think the first thing is to point about like the design God shows equality in both male and female. Okay. I think that's important at first.
Yes.
So, you know, in Genesis 1:27, we are created in his image, and it says both male and female, you know, that's not one distinction, you know. And then there's also different roles that each one has.
Sure.
Yeah, they're equal, as in Galatians 3:28.
Yeah, great
like,
verse.
No yes. male nor female, Jew nor Greek, that verse. Mm-hmm. We are all one in Christ. So yes. We all have a purpose. Mm-hmm. We all have
equal value
yes. in God's eyes.
Yeah.
And that's how we're supposed to see one another too as well. Mm-hmm. So
as members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Yes. Doesn't matter where we come from. Doesn't matter what our lineage is. Doesn't matter what our gender is. We should see each other as Christ sees us, which is his child, his son, his daughter, you know, his adopted child in Romans 8, Galatians 3.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we have that, but then there's also distinct roles who are very different.
Totally.
And so there's this view, maybe you could say like, oh, cause they're different. Maybe they're lesser of value or, you know, I'm higher up because I'm this. Mm-hmm. And so there is a lot of that. And we get that a lot. You guys are kind of joking about little different child hymns too as well. Uh-huh. But like in our culture today, we like kind of, you make fun of the opposite sex or vice versa. You
yes.
know,
yeah.
there's one, I'll say one, maybe you could say
okay.
One.
Okay.
Men go to Jupiter to
oh,
get
I was
more
stupider. Girls go to college to get more knowledge.
Yep.
I remember that one.
So that favors the women.
Yes. Yeah.
And men are dumb.
Yes. We're stupider.
Stupider.
What's stupider?
Stop it.
Exactly. Okay. All right. I mean, yeah. Can I read something from Genesis 2 just to like throw it in there too?
Is it 2:18?
It might be. I think it is. Yeah, it is. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. So like when you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 back to back, you get an overview of what takes place in creation in Genesis 1. And then you get kind of like this zoomed in view of what took place with the creation of male and female. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 are the verses that state what happened.
Yeah.
And then you read Genesis 2 and it's like, well, here's exactly what happened. And it's really cool to look at it that way, because God sees Adam, that he's by himself on the earth in the Garden of Eden, tending the garden as he is intended to do. But there is no help meet for him. There is no, I think the Hebrew word is Azer or Ezer. There's no helper for him. Now in the Hebrew, that word helper, help meet in the King James, I don't know what it is in the other translations, probably better translated, maybe just helper in the ESV or something. It's usually attributed to God. When you look through the rest of the Old Testament where that Hebrew word is used a lot of times in the book of Psalms, it is always attributed to God, where my help comes from. That's what the word is typically used for. And God says there's no help meet for Adam on the earth. So what happens right after that? He creates the animals. And he says, again, there's still nothing sufficient to help him. I think that's verse 20. Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So what does he do? He takes a piece out of Adam. This is where we get the complementary idea, complementarianism. Mm. I remember a long time ago, Philippe and I, we were the dynamic duo once upon a time on this show, and we had a whole episode dedicated to complementarism versus egalitarianism. And complementarianism really kind of starts right here at this moment where God pulls the rib out of Adam and creates Eve. The word itself means complete, means like without that rib that Adam, that God took from Adam, there is no Eve. And Adam cleaves to Eve, it says at the end of that chapter. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they will be one flesh. Like, Adam and Eve are literally one. They complement, they perfect each other. They are a whole unit together. And that's why we're going to go into marriage a little bit later to talk about this relationship, and also to talk about the uniqueness of the individuals in that relationship, the roles of a husband, the roles of a wife. Each one shows the beauty of how we function with each other in a way that's meant to perfect one another, not meant to hinder one another, not meant to compete against one another. Like Satan's job is to hinder. That's what he does.
Correct.
Zechariah chapter 3, like, he's there with the high priest Joshua hindering him, pushing against him, speaking down to him. But in the beauty of what God created, male and female created he them, it was God's design that we would perfect each other, both male and female, together through subduing the earth. Really, you look at the garden, subduing the earth, being fruitful and multiplying, like all these amazing things.
Yeah. Like, he didn't say, I was like playing about this. He didn't say it's good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
Let me put some competition in his life because he needs it. You know, he's like, no, it's not good for man to be alone. And so you see this, almost like he's in need right away, and like he needs help. And I love that because, like we said, we'll get into the distinct roles, but it's a togetherness. It's doing one thing together that God ordained. And like you were saying, male and female together reflect the fullness of God.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not just man alone. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, you know, woman alone. It's them together working as one.
Yeah.
And then that is reflecting like the image of God. You see the strength in like maybe the man's side. Then you see like the tenderness and gentleness maybe in the woman's side.
Sure.
And it's, I think that's very important and very unique that like, yeah, God's image is not expressed in one, male nor female alone. It's both of them together.
Yeah.
And that's
ultimately
huge.
It's the whole body of Christ.
Yes.
Ultimately it's every member in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Galatians 3:28 says it's neither male nor female, neither bond nor free, neither Jew nor Greek. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit residing in each and every one of us as believers. Mm. When we tap into that, when we start thinking with the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, when we let that form our thinking, when we let that project our attitudes to other people, when we are filled with the Spirit, we're looking at each other for encouragement. We're looking to each other for the betterment of the person in front of us. It's a constant thing. A great place to learn about like the difference between male and female is honestly in the Proverbs. Mm. I can't get over the amount of times that I've read, son, forsake not the wisdom of your father and your mother. Forsake not the instruction of your father and your mother. Bind them upon your neck. Wrap them around your head. Like so many different things where the book of Proverbs is always, even wisdom itself is like a wise woman.
Yeah.
Right? That's how it's personified in the book of Proverbs. You get so clear description of who woman is and who man is through the Proverbs that it would be silly not to read it. If you have questions about this topic, if you're not sure like what my purpose is versus what his purpose is, what my purpose is versus what her purpose is, go and read the Proverbs. Please just read them. Well, I'll give you a few examples in a little bit as to like what we see about women in the Proverbs. It's a great place to jump out of, you know?
Yeah. Wow. And then maybe we could talk about like the distinct roles too as well, because that kind of, you know, it is complementary. Even so, even though we're so different and we have different gifts, like we are needed and we can rely on one another and build up one another. And, you know, we think about like the competitive side of, oh, wait, I'm jumping ahead. Well, I want to get to that competition
yes,
too
you
as
do.
Well. But, you know, for a man, what can we say is like for the man, what is their distinct role? You know, maybe I know the marriage part of it really hits on that, but is there any other, you know, verses? I mean, we could see in Genesis, right? The man was placed in the garden.
Yep.
To be like the gardener, the tiller, to run the garden.
Yeah.
And so you see that. And then I see even in the curses, the way they were cursed, you know, it really points out they had distinct roles.
Interesting.
The man was what? He would till the ground. So that was like more work. And so the man is supposed to really be the provider.
By the sweat of his brow. Yeah.
And then what was the woman? The woman,
cursed in childbirth.
Cursed in childbirth. Mm-hmm. And so there's more
or at least pain in childbirth.
Yeah. Correct. And so I kind of relate that to more of a, there's such a like woman being just more of a caretakers of the family and whatnot, as a man should be providers of the family. And so there's this unit that works together, and God made specific roles. But then there has to be like, in my end, you know, there has to be like this humility, you know, because pride can take over. Right. And I can say, I don't need this person. I could do it myself. Mm-hmm. And power to you. Yes, maybe you can, but you're gonna need help in some way.
Yeah,
you know, would you say about that?
Oh, I mean, a couple things come to mind, and I'll just be super open and transparent. Like, my wife is the breadwinner of our family. She makes the money in our household. I work for the church, so I'm just gonna leave it at that. I work for the church.
You're getting spiritual riches in heaven, so she's going. I got you.
So like, I don't subscribe to the idea that like, you know, it's kind of like an old view. I think it's an old view at this point that like the husband needs to be the one earning the money, making the money, providing for the household in that way. I think the provision that you're speaking about is really the spiritual provision for the household.
Amen.
I think 100% Ephesians 5 lays this out where, Christ is the head of the church, and so the husband is the head of the wife.
Yes.
We could go to, let's just go there. Ephesians chapter 5. Being a spiritual head means like having a walk with God that doesn't end with yourself. I can't say that enough. Your walk with God is not for you alone. If you are the head of a household, your walk with God is for you. It is for your wife. It is for your children. If you have any, it is for the people who are neighbors to you. It is for the people who are connected to you in any way, shape, or form. Your spiritual walk with God is meant to be, like a conduit of who God is to other people.
You're a
vessel.
Conduit. That's a
conduit.
Good
Did you like
example.
That word? Yeah. I pulled that out of my. I don't even know which recess of my brain that
makeover
came out of.
Work we have going.
I was
on
watching over. Frankenstein on Netflix, and you know, conduits, and okay. Anyway, you're a conduit to God's life for other people. You are meant like okay, the pastor of a church. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. The spiritual head of the church is supposed to be a male. I'm just going to say it. That's what the Bible says. It lays out. It's supposed to be a male. I know there's a lot of people who believe other things on that. I know there's a lot of reasons for women to take up the mantle in some cases, but I'm saying what the Bible says is that the spiritual authority lies in the headship of God, Christ, to his church through the man. And I'm not going to apologize for that. That's just what it says. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. Apart from the spiritual provision, I think there's really clear, distinct roles for the man and the woman. And maybe I'll jump back to Proverbs for a second. Proverbs 14:1 says this about the woman. And I love this. 14:1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. When I read that verse and I think about like the stories of the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7 or the persistent widow in Luke 18, this is how I view the role of a woman in society. They are the persistent investors in their households. They are the persistent investors in the lives of those who they take care of. They are the persistent investors of whatever they have domain over, like whether it's a job, whether it's a child, whether it's.
And you see that Proverbs 30.
Proverbs 31.
Woman, she's always. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The picture of like the very virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. You also see how loving and compassionate women are in society. In the household, Ephesians 5, again, what are women called to do? What are wives called to do? But to love their husbands, submit to them. And husbands also are called to love their wives. They're both called to submit to each other. It's like a reciprocal relationship where neither one is coming against the other, but both together are coming to God, presenting themselves to him to hear his thoughts and his desires. And
yeah. Yeah. And before he says this to man and woman, submit, he first is saying to the whole church and everybody submit one to another.
Yes.
So I think that's very important. You were talking about your wife being the breadwinner. I love that thought though, you know, and, it was funny when I was growing up, I was praying, that I would be a stay at home dad.
Really?
This is a prayer of mine. Because why? Cause I cook. I'm a good cook. I went to culinary school. I'm not very clean. Maybe that's where I fell off.
Okay.
Can't fold clothes. Yeah. So God had other plans, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's cause the culture. And I was just like, that'd be cool. You know, I get to stay home, raise my kids, have fun and just teach them and train them. And then God had other plans, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I'm providing for my wife and, but she is working too as well. And I think we live in a culture where kind of both, ends of them, both parties have to really provide and raise, unfortunately. You know, I wish it wasn't like so, but you know, we both have to work and we both have to help one another out.
Yeah. And gender roles in society, like in secular thought, has transformed a lot over the years. It used to be the man went away to work like in the 40s, like the nuclear family idea, the 40s, 50s, 60s, they went away to work. The wife was the one taking care of the home and the children and they didn't have a job. So, I mean, they did have a job. It was taking care of the children and that, like, that's a job enough. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like
yes.
to have children at home and have full-time jobs, like for both parents, That's so much. It's so much. That's a side note.
For sure.
But it's transformed so much to the fact that now not only are men and women both working, but oftentimes the roles have been reversed in that way, and the husband does stay home, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what we're like here to talk about. We're here to talk about what the Bible says about man as a creation of God, and what the Bible says about woman as a creation of God, and how both really are so vital for the reproduction of society, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the encouragement and solidifying of the body of Christ. Because without one or the other, it's just a complete broken mess.
Yeah. And then that's where like that point of being like in competition, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, I've done all this, I've provided, and I've done all this. What have you done? And I'm looking for, you know, hey, like step up your game in a way. And that's competition. And competition is great, I believe, between like male and male, you know. I think competition,
a little camaraderie, sure. Yeah.
I think that is very needed just to, you know, give some urge or motivation I think guys need that, you know, maybe not so much women. Women is more like building one another up and let's, you know, go out. And I'm just basing it off of what my wife does, you know,
okay,
let's go shopping. And she loves that, you know, like my wife was in a wreck one day and we went pumpkin shopping and she changed her whole attitude just by shopping for some pumpkins.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
For me, that doesn't do it for me.
No.
I could go play basketball though, or play some Call of Duty and then like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm a little better.
Okay.
Let's go. But, I had a porn person in my life one time say, you know, like we hear this thing 50-50, and but to look at it, you know, if you're a male or a woman, 100% to 0%, like you have no expectation in the opposite person. I think that is interesting in a way, and I think it does resemble what Christ has done, because now it's like, okay, I'm going to do what I can do, you know, and Lord help me with that. So, and I don't have any expectation from the other person, but even if they do a little bit, even 1%, wow, I've gained, you know, more from that. Sure. And that's kind of what Christ has done for us too, as well. You know, like he's done 100% of the work. He finished the work, you know, and we just have to live by faith. So I thought that was a amazing little thing too, as well. But maybe you are getting into Ephesians 5. Maybe we could go into that, because that is our second point about marriage as a picture of Christ in the church. And you did also make an important point about it being the man should be the spiritual leader. I love that. You know, maybe it's not in the household. It doesn't have to be this old fashioned. He has to make the money and whatnot, but he could be spiritual leading his household. But maybe it's not always like that, you know. And I thought of if the man is not leading, we have a shepherd in 1 Peter 2:24.
Chief shepherd and bishop of our souls.
I love that.
Jesus
chief,
Christ.
Yes. And so if the man's not leading, women, you have that chief shepherd.
You have a relationship with Christ.
You have that.
Yeah. Lead your kids, lead your household. Whoa.
Yeah. But then also he could raise up a Deborah too as well.
Totally.
Like,
absolutely.
You know, so it's not.
Phoebe, the deaconess. Yeah.
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 So maybe you want to get into marriage as a picture of Christ.
Sure. Well,
church.
Mean, let's just look at like what it says. So I never read these verses without first reading verse 20 and 21 first, because I think they're so important. Let's just go the whole way back to 18. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then here's what being filled with the Spirit can look like. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So then when you take that into context of what it's about to say next for wives and for husbands to do, you have to understand that Paul is instructing the church that if you are filled with the Spirit, this is how you're going to respond to each other. This is the most amazing thing. You will submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God. So wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the idea of submission is not like some lesser, some subordinate position. It means literally to lower yourself on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like submit, put yourself under is what is like the Greek word. I think it's hupotasso. Put yourself under another person as if you're getting orders from Christ on high, as if you're being spoken to from God himself on the throne. You put yourself under that direction, that leading, that guidance. Mm. You ask your husband at home, hey, do you have a verse on your heart? Do you have a thought, you know, to start our day? Do you have this, what have you read lately? Mm. Anything like that is an opportunity to submit yourself to your husband as you are submitting yourself to Christ. In the same way, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. This is not the kind of love, like the cuddly kind of love that like, I'll just be there. I'll just give them a hug when they, that's not what it means when Paul says, husband, love your wives. He's literally saying, husband, empty yourself of yourself and go be whatever your wife needs you to be in that moment to help her, support her, lift her up, make her know that she's special, help her to know that she's loved not only by you, but by God, that she's doing an amazing job. Like that's what it means to love your wife. Don't give me this crap of, oh, I provide for her and I put food on the table and I'm there to listen whenever she needs to talk. But other than that, like I'm checked out. No, love your wife means empty yourself of who you are and be there for her. Like it feels like it's asking a lot from both parties, but all it's really asking you to do is operate as a member of the body of Christ under Christ's headship.
Mm, yeah, that's good. And like we said in the beginning, like it comes down to pride and being humble and humbling yourself, you know, and such a unique and tough thing, especially when we're talking about marriage, you know, a young couple becomes married and never lived.
Gee, what's that like?
Yeah, it's just like you know, you're living with your boys at the dorm and just having fun and there's clothes everywhere and nobody's showering. And now, you know, your bathroom's a mess and the toilet seat's always up.
Yeah.
Now it's a lot different, you know, and two people and two flesh, two people become one is an amazing thing, but there can be so much. It could be the most beautiful thing, but then it could also be a whirlwind and chaos too as well. Mm. But in the correct order, right? God in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, God is, he does everything decently in an order.
Yep.
Like there's an order to the home. There's an order in our lives. There's an order in government. And there's an order that the marriage really takes on too as well. And you were talking about like that submitting and, yeah, a tough word that maybe we can look at in our daily life today. But I remember Pastor Ronaldo talked about my very first Bible college class here. He said submission, under the mission. We are together under this one mission.
Nice.
And Adam and Eve, you know, there was what was their mission? To till the garden. And then Eve came along to help him. And as a Christian and being a married couple, in this world, what is it like to have a mission for Christ, a Christian marriage in this life? Because you are pouring your lives out and other people are seeing it. Mm. Yeah, so that's amazing.
Yes.
So
submitted one to another. It's a product of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's something you can't manufacture on your own.
Yeah.
That's what I love about our walk with God as individuals, is that he fills us. He does the work. He works in us both to will and to do. Philippians 2:13. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God is so faithful in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, that he will give you the capacity to walk according, walk worthy of the calling that he has called you unto. Mm. Like how, I said this the other day, maybe in a foundations class, how confident is God that he has preordained works for us to walk in his yeah. good works, Ephesians chapter 2, verse, how confident is he in his faithfulness in our lives that he can bring us to a place to perform those good works that he has planned? Because if we were left to ourselves to perform whatever those good works are or are going to be one day, like we would already, we would have already missed that opportunity.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's over us and he's in us and he's moving us to love one another. He's moving us to pray for one another. He's moving us to encourage one another. And if you don't have, whether it's a husband wife relationship or body member male, body member female relationship, if you don't have that spiritual oneness, it's because one of you is disconnected from the source, right? It could be either one of you, or maybe both of you are disconnected from the source.
Yeah.
So we always have to be like checking with ourselves first. We think the other person's off. We think the, you know, this person's speaking out of emotions or speaking out of hurt or whatever, anger, whatever the case may be. We have to check with our walk with God first. Well, maybe I'm not confessed up to date. Maybe I'm not, I'm pushing this thing away that I need to deal with, and it's causing me to have this hard reaction right now.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's a huge point. Maybe, like it's a heart problem. It's a me problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the other person or whatever it is.
Sure.
Our heart is, you know, deceitful, desperately wicked. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so there's this issue of the heart and, how we think. And I think that is like where it's me. And I think that's an amazing place to be at. And that's humility, you know, okay. You know, I could put the blame on the other person, but that's not really doing us well.
Right.
So, for this marriage, it's amazing because it's like a blueprint. God gives us a blueprint of what a healthy marriage is. Mm. And, you know, I had an IKEA set and it was huge. I had to build one time and, you know, I tried to do it without the directions and it just did not. There's so many pieces and it's kind of like marriage, you know. There's so many little pieces or little different things and one thing wrong can really irk, you know, one party or one side. And wow, I really need the blueprint. I really need the direction. I really need the word of God.
That's a great picture.
And for the man, like really as a spiritual leader, it really says that in verse. I just want to hit this point.
Please, yeah.
You know, husbands love your wives. And it gives, I think, 5 points. Maybe it talks about. In verse 25, it says, you know, we talked about this, you know, as love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then the next one says sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word.
Nice.
I've been learning this a lot. You know, I have to lead my wife. I need to have a word in season for her. I need to build her up and encourage her. She has an amazing walk on her own.
Yeah.
She does a Bible study on her own too as well.
Love it.
And I know that and I see God working in her life.
Yeah.
But for our marriage, like God is saying as a husband, cleanse her with the word, you know, and just give her, pour that on her and uplift her.
Yeah.
And this is a picture of Christ to us.
Yeah.
The church, I guess man is really resembling Christ and the church is representing the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that even in the Adam and Eve thing too, as well. It's cool. Like taken from the rib, like Christ was pierced in his side and out of it, you know, become a woman was created out of it. Through Christ was the church born and created.
Yes.
I love that picture.
Wow.
But where's I going with that?
Like the blueprint, the perfect blueprint for what man and women need in a marriage or just how to operate with one another in general. One thing that happens in our world is, I mean, sorry to say it, but like we're confused about people's genders today.
Yeah.
We're confused about the whole male and female thing, the diagonal arrow and the little downward with the line, you know, like just,
yeah,
there's a whole sect of society consumed with gender ideology that they completely miss the fact that God created us male and female, created he them. And it's like, it can be settled right then and there. But this is what happens when you get away from the blueprint. That's what I'm trying to say. When you get away from what God has done and how he has designed us, we're left to our own evil imaginations.
Yeah.
We're left to whatever we can heap to ourselves and say, oh, this is right because this is what I say. And this is, and I say this because of this authority or this opinion and that opinion. And like, none of those things are actually authoritative when you consider them in light of the word of God. Like, the word of God is authoritative.
Yeah.
But okay, let's speak on it on a really practical level. Other than the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he is pregnant as a man, have you ever
What movie is that?
I forget the name of it. I just know it exists. One. Someone can look it up and check us on it. There's a movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger
is
miraculously
one.
Impregnated. Okay?
It sounds like a new one.
No, this is old. No, this is so, this is when he was like in the prime of his acting career. Wow. It's like right around Kindergarten Cop time. I don't know. Okay. So, apart from that, have you ever seen a biological male pregnant?
No.
Is there any other answer to that question? No. What is it? It's, what's it called? Junior. It's called Junior. It's another, it's, you know, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. They did twins and then they did Junior. And it's like, I don't know where that one came from, but it was interesting. Okay. You've never seen a biological male carrying a child?
No.
Why is that? Why is that?
It wasn't designed that way.
Exactly. Men were not designed to carry children.
Yeah.
Have you, like, anyone listening out there right now, have you ever seen a man react to a cut on his hand? Like, we're babies. We're children. Like, that little paper cut hurts like no other. Could you imagine a man like who can't handle a paper cut trying to give birth to a human being, the amount of pain that coincides with that event? Like, no, women were created to carry children. Women were created to give them birth. There's no such thing as artificial reproduction. Okay, even artificial intelligence is not really artificial intelligence. It's collective intelligence, all programmed into one, like sentience or however you want to think of it. But there's no such thing as artificial reproduction. Even like the assisted reproductive methods that we have today in medicine still require the main ingredients that all pregnancies require.
Yeah.
It requires the egg of a woman. It requires the sperm of a man. Mm-hmm. Without those two things connecting and forming together and I forget what's the first thing it becomes, a zygote. I don't even remember all the stages of a human child. But without those two things, life does not exist on this planet. God created Adam and Eve and he created them to be together, to become one flesh and to reproduce and to fill the earth and to subdue it. And without male and female, regardless of our insane gender ideology, we would not have a reproducing people on this planet.
Yeah.
Like, just as practical as we can be. I'm sorry to put it that way, but where would we be today if it were all women? Like, sorry, we wouldn't be able to reproduce if it were all women. Where would we be today if it was all men? We wouldn't be able to reproduce. We'd all be killing each other, angry and competing, but
yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Interesting. It hits topic. I mean, and Romans 1 talks about it, 21 through 27. And I guess when we get to here, like, there's an enemy who's trying to confuse God's distinctions between male and female. And he does it, like, in three ways. He'll distort identity.
Mm-hmm.
So your identity. And I think that's an important thing, like, what is my identity? And like we are talking about this blueprint, like the Bible gives you, males, this is, this is the way to go. And women, you have an important role, amazing role. I love how Jesus has, 12 disciples, but there's women following him. Mm-hmm. He's seeing women first at the tomb.
Yep.
And women have an important role in the mission of God. And like you're saying, they have a very important role in the ongoing production of life. Like, wow. And we couldn't do it.
No.
Like, we need help. We need help.
Yes.
And so the second thing is it'll distort relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, who am I supposed to be with? This person makes me feel this way. Mm-hmm. And so I get confused. And then the last one, our understanding of God himself. So there's three things: my identity, my relationships, and then my understanding of God himself get affected because the culture is saying something totally different. And it's all, I believe it's all starts with the mind. And we see that in Romans 1. Mm-hmm. It talks about the mind, I think, four different times is talking about, like, the mind, how this is how the enemy is really targeting you.
Yeah.
He's trying to target your thoughts and get your feelings and get your emotions. And because we all have wicked thoughts,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we all, none of us... have not had a horrible thought one way or another. Mm-hmm. I love how you're being honest about that, but he's really talking about, the mind. He wants to really distort the mind and get you to think a certain way and say, okay, maybe it is like that. And so now I have no identity.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying who I am myself. Mm-hmm. And that's very dangerous.
Super subjective.
Yeah. Very subjective. Mm-hmm. I don't have it. Like, there's no authority and it's selfish and it's prideful. And then two, my relationships are affected. Mm-hmm. I'm affecting other people, not only myself, but I'm affecting many people around me by my actions and how I think. And then the third part, now I don't even know who God is. I have no clue who God is. And I have this different picture and now I can make whatever this bird or this thing, my God. And now I'm like all distorted. Mm. And so I think it comes out like we were saying before. It's a heart problem. Like it's a me problem.
Yeah.
Like we all have it. Like I think the Bible talks about the heart having a mind and then also the soul having a mind. Like, and that is like, we have our normal mind, but then there's also the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit. And so when we become born again, we have a new mind, we have a new heart, and we could think a different way, but we still have our normal mind, you know?
Sure.
And so we could still have these thoughts that we battle with. But they must come with subject unto the word of God, unto Christ, and how he, how he identifies with us and how he, why we are created, like we're talking about man and woman, like for a purpose, and humbling ourselves and know that his way is way better, you know, than my own.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Maybe one more thought from Ephesians chapter 4. It's really simple. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, alien, or whatnot. Not that those things exist either. But
what kind of alien are you talking about?
Don't worry. The extraterrestrial type. Ephesians 4, verse 15.
Wow.
Yes, E.T., phone home.
Hey, nothing can get worse than the pregnant. Pregnant
Marvin the Martian. Come on.
Man.
Ephesians 4, 15, it does not matter who you are. You can do this. Okay, ready? Speaking the truth in love.
Yes.
You can speak the truth in love. You can help the other person, you together, cooperating in the Holy Spirit with each other, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. We're all called to love each other. We're all called to speak the truth to each other. We're all called to operate in our gifts as God has given them to us in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you can put aside, I love the way you said it. It's like a prideful thing. If you can put aside the pride of life, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, if you can put aside the pride of life and just look at the person in front of you with care, with love, speaking truth, then man, there's no limit to what you can accomplish with that person. Whether that person is your husband or your wife or a brother or sister in Christ, it doesn't matter. We are all called to walk in the uniqueness of our spiritual gifting and the uniqueness of the way that God has created us to bring the body together closer, compacted, growing.
Yeah.
All at once, all at the same time.
Amen. Yeah.
Cool. So. All right. I think we did it. Jesse, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me,
thanks
Pastor
for
Matt.
Being here to calm me down a little bit and let me riff off on these random movie references. Don't forget, guys, please subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us for our next show as we continue to talk about these amazing differences in the creation of humanity. See ya.
See ya.